dumbest title of any series I've ever had, for sure. Ward, and we found out what a ward was last week or so, but let's go with the message today. There you go. What a beautiful scene. Isn't that pretty? Wow, though, there's some pain at the end, isn't there, though? Look at it. Pretty, though, isn't it? Say. A little bit of pain, no? Today's message is called Pressing Onward. Can you say that with me? Pressing Onward. In this little series called Ward, we've had a message called Looking Forward, Looking Inward. Let's do a little review right quick. Looking forward, what does that mean? It means to anticipate the future with what? So many people dread their future. That's not looking forward, friend. Looking forward is anticipating your future with pleasure. Amen? And you can do that. But you've got to make up your mind. I can't look forward to your future for you. Y'all listening? And you can't do that for me. So many people, bad things happen in their life, and that becomes who they are forever. That is crazy, isn't it? Yeah, well, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, so that's who I am. That's not who you are. That's who you think you are. Because you're not looking forward, man. Amen. Come on. Looking inward was last week's message. Looking inward. You really can't look forward till you look what? Inward, man. You got to look inside of you. That's what it means to look towards the inside of me. Come on. Real change happens where? Inside my what? And we think of ward. We think of hospital ward. And so many people are sick, just sick, messed up in their head. We think of prison ward. So many people are in chains. They're just locked up there, just all messed up. You don't have to be that way. But it means looking into the dark places. It means dealing with some things in your life that's ugly, perhaps. But it's okay, because that's where change can take place. Amen? Looking inside of you. Inside my ward, from the seat of my emotions. That's what the inside of you really is. From the center of my will, from my heart, or like I said last week, from my what? My gut. You feel it in your what? Gut. Amen? Dealing with the inside of you. I see it. I say it. I believe it. I believe change can happen in my life. I don't believe I have to be marked by what has happened in my past. Now, I can learn from that. I can't necessarily run away from it. It's who I am. It happened. But that doesn't have to be me for the rest of my life. Are y'all listening? Are y'all okay so far? Amen. Well, here's Palm Sunday. And I want to talk about pressing onward. And I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about how can I have this mindset to where I can move forward in my life and have a powerful life. That's what I'm talking about today. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, Paul writing, but this one thing I, what? Do. Say this next part with me. Forgetting those things which are and reaching forth unto those things which are what? Say this part with me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you about pressing onward. Pressing onward. Roger, we're going to be clicking and moving, buddy. Here we go. Now say this with me. This is really vital to our message today. I want a pressing mind and not a depressing mind. And if you think you're coming in here sitting with a psychologist, Gary, well, you probably are for a little bit. You see what I'm saying? I'm not preaching a message today just to make you feel good. Oh, Hosanna and palms waving and all that kind of stuff. We'll let the other churches do that, okay? I want to help you today. I want to help you to have the mind that took Jesus on Sunday when they're waving the palms saying, you're all that, that kept him going all the way to Friday. I want that kind of mind. You listening? A mind that pressed when the crowd turned against him. He saw you and me. And he said, well, I'm going to keep going. That's what I'm talking about today. Some of you need that in your life. I need that in my life. I need to know my life isn't over. Amen? Got to press onward. Let's talk about it. What passage did I pick? I picked this passage right here. I could have been all over the Bible, all over the New Testament this week, but I chose Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. We're talking about having a pressing mind and not a depressing mind. I want to have the kind of thinking that Jesus had. When everybody's with you on Sunday and they turn against you on Wednesday and trying to kill you, but you still go on anyway. I got to examine his mind. I'm going to examine the head of Christ today. That's what we're going to do in the message. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this is good for me, right? This is what the Bible says I'm supposed to have. Who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We're going to look at that verse. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. We're going to examine that verse today. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're going to look at those three verses today. Okay, those last three in particular. Let's examine the pressing mind of Christ. I want the thinking of Jesus to be my thinking. Would you say that with me? I want the thinking of Jesus to be my thinking. One more time. I want the thinking of Jesus to be my thinking. And guys, this is not what the kind of thinking I'm thinking of. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the other, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I keep all these rules. That's not what I'm looking for today. I'm looking for the mind when all hell breaks loose. You still keep going. You still keep pressing onward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See the difference? This isn't something you can just read in a little book. Okay, take your little class. This is serious stuff. This will get you through the hardest things in your life. That's what I'm looking at today. Pressing onward, the mind of Christ. I want the thinking of Jesus. So let's learn this verse so we'll know sure that we're doing the right thing. Say it with me. Let's learn it about three times. It's easy. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many already know it? Good. Let's do it again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One more time. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's go on to the next slide, and we're going to have them say it now without help. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One last time. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind? A pressing mind. I mean, he could have been depressed, couldn't he say? But instead of being depressed, he pressed. Let's talk about it. Here we go. I want the thinking of Jesus to be my thinking. I want to have this kind of mind where I press on. Keep going, Raj. Jesus pressed onward. Let's look at it. He left heaven's glory. We've got to get this down. He didn't leave Rockingham. Me leaving Rockingham coming to Florida was a good thing. Him leaving heaven coming to earth didn't look so good. You understand? Jesus left heaven's glory. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A lot of confusion on what that verse means. We're going to talk about it. What does it mean? He left heaven's glory. He pressed onward for you and me. Jesus, who is the exact form or image of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? It means that Jesus did not consider, he did not think, he had a pressing mind, that his outer manifestation of his divine attributes and power, he didn't think of that as something to be grasped or held on to or retained at all cost. What do I mean? He left heaven's glory for you and for me. That was a big pressing point in his life, don't you think? Say yes or no. Amen? He could have held on to that. He's the exact image of God. He is God. He's the Son of God. But he looked at you and me, and he looked at that,
And he didn't think he was getting cheated by coming down here for you and me. He didn't think he was getting robbed by having to leave heaven and come here for you and me. So many of us live in our past. We think our life, we've been robbed, and we're victims. And that's the way we talk. That's the way we act. That's why we don't have any friends. That's all they ever hear out of us. This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. Why don't you go make something happen? You see what I'm saying? Say, listen, so what? Crap happens. Excuse me. Excuse me. Listen. Quit thinking whatever's happened. You've been robbed or something. You still breathe and say. You got to have the mentality, I'm going to press onward through this stuff. Amen. Jesus pressed. It was a big press for him to leave heaven to come here. How'd he do it? He didn't think he was getting cheated. He didn't see himself as a victim. He didn't see that as something he had to hold on to. Is that making sense to you or not? It might later. Four pressing onward points that I saw in this passage, and this is a teaching time today. It's a little different than some of my messages, but this is very important. This is Passion Week. I want you to get something from the Word this week that you can carry with you about our Savior, about what He did for us. Four pressing onward points. The first thing, if you want to really have the pressing mind of Christ, you've got to see that Jesus emptied Himself. Say that with me. Jesus emptied Himself. Come on, set up and help me now. Jesus emptied Himself. Look at verse 7, just the beginning. Jesus made Himself of no reputation. Say that with me. Jesus made Himself of no reputation. Where did I get that emptied stuff from? The word no reputation in our Bible, it's translated into Greek. The word actually means to empty. Jesus emptied Himself. Okay? He emptied Himself. Keep looking. Let's see what we can learn. He didn't empty Himself of His deity, though. And this is so important. This is where I might lose you this morning. You're like, oh, it's too much. It's above my head. If you'll hang in here, you're going to learn something. This is huge. If you're going to understand the mind of Christ, have that pressing mind, if you'll hang in here with me right here. Jesus emptied Himself, but you need to understand, Jesus didn't empty Himself of His deity. When He left heaven's glory, He didn't empty Himself of His deity. When He came to this earth, He was still God. Say that with me. He was still God. Now, you've got to understand this. Keep listening. He was in every sense the Son of God when He was on this earth. He was the Son of God. And you're going to miss this if you don't listen. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, just in Scripture. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature, Jesus. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily while He was here on this earth. Who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, He's the image of God, upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus emptied Himself, but He did not empty Himself of His deity. Listen very carefully. He did, however, surrender. Say surrender. Surrender. The independent use of those divine characteristics or power. Buddy, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, He's God on this earth. He has all those powers as He's on this earth. But He surrendered use of them. But you see glimpses of it through the New Testament, don't you? Did He walk on water one time? Say, what? Oh, that's power. Remember when Peter cut that guy's ear off in the garden? He went, whoop, that's power. Remember when He called Lazarus forth from the dead? That's what? So did He have power? But He surrendered independent use of that power. He emptied Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. If I had that kind of power, I'd get me a big billboard and a sign. And, be, zap, 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 zap. And they'd know it's all about me. But He made Himself of no reputation. Jesus hid His heavenly fame in an earthly frame. Say that with me. Jesus hid His heavenly fame in an earthly the God of the universe, hid himself in a human body. That takes some serious mind stuff. Y'all listening or what? See, the reason, you know, we still think we're God sometimes, that's the dumbest thing on the planet. But can you imagine knowing you're God and hiding it from everybody? Knowing at any moment you could just burn them to death? He emptied himself. This is huge that you know this. Jesus abstained from using these powers. He abstained from his omnipresence, being everywhere at one time. God is that and can be that and is that, okay? But he abstained from that so his mission for the cross could be accomplished. Just a quick example. Lazarus had died, and he said, I'm glad for your sake, say it with me, that I was not what? There. Could he have been there if he wanted to? That's what Martha and Mary said. Remember them saying that to him? Could have been here and our brother wouldn't have died. He limited his powers. He surrendered those, even though he had them at his disposal at all times. Sometimes we think this stuff was taken from Jesus. Now, I've got some of you looking a little funny at me. That's okay. You can believe what you want to believe. I believe this. I believe he had all power at all times. That makes what he did for me more incredible than ever. You see what I'm saying? He abstained from using his omniscience, that's all-knowing, for this to be accomplished. Remember this story? When the woman with an issue of blood touched Jesus, and Jesus said what? Who what? Who touched me? And they're like, well, I don't know. There's a lot of people here. I don't see all these people, Peter said. And he says, all I know is somebody touched me. Could he have known who touched him if he had wanted just to know? Yes or no? Sure he could. He limited. He abstained from using that kind of power. Why? Because he emptied himself. What's this got to do with me, Pastor? You're going to see here in a second. Keep going. He abstained from using his omnipotence, his all-powerfulness, for his mission to be accomplished. Look at this passage. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Why could he do nothing of himself? Because he chose to abstain from doing that. But what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he does, these things also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. He limited that power. He abstained from that power. Did you see Jesus in the New Testament many times saying, Father? Did you hear him calling on his Father? Did he have to do that? No. He put himself in that position. Y'all getting me? Am I way over your head? This is the mind of Christ. He put himself in that position for you and me. He emptied himself. That's incredible. So the first and biggest step for me in the pressing onward is, in my pressing onward mindset, the first and biggest step for me, what did I learn so far? Here's what I learned in my office. I press toward emptying myself. Would you say that with me? I press toward emptying myself. How can I have the mind of Christ? Well, you can't have it if you're full of yourself. Did you hear me? Well, I got the mind of Christ. No, you got the mind of you. You can't have the mind of Christ without this process. It's the first and biggest step in the process of having the mind of Christ. The pressing mind instead of the depressing mind is you must empty yourself. And it's a press that you're going to have to maintain for the rest of your life. It's a press. It's a push. I push toward not worrying about or not making it about me. I push that way. I empty myself. You understand? How does that help my life? Well, I deny myself the use of certain rights and powers that I could if I wanted to. Did you know I have certain rights and powers that I could use? Did you know I could come up, I could go out front today, when you leave, I could hit you right square in the mouth if I wanted to. Do you know I could do that? Yes or no? I might get arrested for it, but I could still hit you square in the mouth if I wanted to. Say, hey, quite frankly, in this old mind of mine, there's an arsenal of cuss words that you ain't ever even imagined probably. I could cuss you out. Wouldn't even be, I could do it. I could call you every name. I could talk about your mother. I could do it. I can give people the fingers. I'm riding down the road and they pass me. Did you know I can do that? Say, yes or no? I can be at McDonald's. If somebody doesn't get me their food on time, I can tell them off. I can get all upset at them. I was at McDonald's the other day. Did I tell you all this story? You love these stories, don't you? I was at McDonald's. And, sir, if you're here, you deserve this. Here we go. Here we go. I'm sorry. I was at McDonald's the other day. The people that work at McDonald's are good people. That's their job. It's not like back in the day. That was an entry-level job for teenagers. That was nice back in the day, wasn't it? Now guess what? With this crazy economy, that's people's livelihood. You'd probably be surprised who works there and the qualifications they have. And so I'm there the other day, and I heard this guy do this about three other times, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And he got on to one lady because she didn't get his coffee quick enough. And she's a sweet lady. So I walked over to him. He reminded me of a mob boss or somebody. I'm going to tell you, be honest with you. Some union guy, somebody that's been able to push people around. That's not the Christian way, friend. Are you listening to me or not? Okay? And this is my town. I don't know if you know that or not. Did y'all hear me? Yes or no? It is. I love Inglewood. And I love these people that work here. So I walked over to them. I said, you know what? You don't have the right to be mean to people. Okay? I said, just because you get old doesn't mean you got the right to do that. All right? Well, and I said, where are you from? You're from up north? Where are you from? No, I didn't say it that way. I said, are you a year-rounder? That's what I said. I said it just like that. Or you live here all the time? He said, I live here all the time, but I hate it. I said, why don't you move back north then? You know what I'm saying? Seriously. We don't have the right to treat these people this way. Then I stuck out my hand and said, I'm Pastor Gary Clark, Fellowship Church, Inglewood, Florida. You know? Listen, that doesn't make me a great guy. Here's the point. We can do anything. We can say anything. We can act any way. But we need to make the choice to empty ourselves. And you might think, what I did, you should have emptied yourself. No, I thought I was right in what I did. I did think what I wish more of us would do that. I wish more of us would act like that about our community when we see people getting bullied in this community who are serving us and they're getting bullied like that. I'm going to tell you this right now. The worst crowd, according to waitresses and waiters, is Sunday after church. The worst crowd at restaurants is Sunday after church. It's the Christian people that go into these restaurants. I have them tell me this all the time. It's horrible. It's because we're not emptying ourselves. Are y'all listening or not? We should say, I don't have the right to say that. I give up that right. I give up that right. I'm feeling it. I want to say it. They are slow. It is a problem. It's bothering me. But I give up that right to say that. I have the power to do that. You have the power to get bitter at people. You have the power to get back. You have the power to do all that kind of stuff. But if you want a pressing mind instead of a depressing mind, people that get bitter are depressed. I don't care what you say. People that are bitter, that want to get even, they're depressed. They never live their life. They're always trapped in that stinking, sorry, smelly bubble they live in. I don't want to live in that little mess. Amen? Say. I know I got ugly there, but anyway, here we go. I'm just saying, no, we're not God, but we have certain rights and powers that we can deny using. It's huge, man. I don't consider it my right or privilege or something I need to hold on to. I can let go that little bit of uncomfort or that bad service I got or what somebody did to me wrong, guess what? I can let go of it and not feel like I've been cheated. I can let go of it and not feel like I've been robbed. No, I choose to press onward. And I choose to have the mindset, the mind of Christ. Amen? Did that make any sense to anybody in the building? Well, good. That's huge. If you don't get anything else I say, and there's more, I press toward this goal. Let's go with the second point. Pressing onward. What did Jesus do? Four pressing onward points. Number one, He emptied Himself. Number two, Jesus became a servant man. Say that with me. Jesus became a servant man. He took upon Him the form of a servant, and He was made in the likeness of men. What does that mean? Jesus took upon Him the form of a servant and became a man. What does that mean, Raj? Come on. Jesus, the infinite, holy Creator, suddenly becomes the likeness of finite and sinful creatures. That's crazy. He willingly did this. This was His mindset. It's mind-blowing what He did. Jesus willingly lay aside for a while all the magnificence that He had, all the adoration that your mind can imagine, and He took upon Him the body of a lowly, poor servant. Did you, when you read your Bible, do you see Jesus that way the whole time, from start to finish, really to the end? Isn't that who He is, say? Doesn't it say birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't even have anywhere to lay what? His head. Did you see Him getting pushed around and kicked around and knocked around? Did you see that happening in the Scriptures when you see Jesus? Like they owned Him? Is that how it looked? This verse, I want you to see it to try to make the point. A lowly servant. It's in Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth, this is a prophecy about Jesus, a rod out of the stem of who? Jesse, that's David's dad. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now follow my thinking just a second. Jesus was born into the royal line of David. King David. But not the throne. But the root. Now follow the thinking. Jesse, the father of David, the king, was a poor peasant farmer from where? Jesus was born into that kind of family. Joseph and Mary, they were from Nazareth, but He was born, I think, in an old cow stall manger. Is that what the Bible says? In what city? Bethlehem. He lived as a servant of men and to men. That was His mindset. Did you know you have to press yourself if you're going to think like that? We don't think like that by nature, do we, say? I'm just by nature. I just like to serve everybody. Everybody tell me. No, it's a path. The mind of Christ. So what's the second point for my life? I press it with me toward being a what? A servant man. How does that help me? What does that mean? I put aside the desire for the magnificence. Did you know, I mean, He left the magnificence, but did you know I can desire that too? I have every right to desire that. The magnificence and all that. But guess what? That's not the pressing mind. The pressing mind does not have that desire. Not the mind of Christ. Number two, I push away the desire for the adoration of men. Say that with me. I push away the desire for the adoration of men. Some people live and breathe what people think of them. Okay? Now we want to have a good testimony. There's no question about that. But always having to get somebody's applause or their plea or their approval or you know what I'm saying? You got to press past that. Does that make any sense to you? I press toward this goal. The third pressing point that I saw in this little passage, Jesus humbled Himself. And being found in fashion as a man, He what? So Jesus humbled Himself. This is His mind. The word humbled Himself means, say it with me, He submitted to what? Come on, He submitted to what? Did He have to submit to authority? Huh? Zap, you done. That was his mind. Were the authorities nice to Jesus? Were they justified in their treatment of Jesus? But yet did he submit to their treatment? Things that have happened in my life aren't right and they aren't fair. And for the rest of my life, I can let that be my song. It wasn't right, it wasn't fair. 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 I can do that the rest of my life. Or I can submit to whatever has happened. And I can press right on through it. You understand the thinking that I'm talking about today? You can fight and 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 fight. Or you can get on with your life. The mind of Christ. You can get on with your mission that He has for you. Pretty good stuff. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a what? That you should follow in His what? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but He committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. He put it in God's hands. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're what? There's amazing healing that can come to you having the mind of Christ. Amen, say. Live like everybody, bitter, upset, always, you know, just a mess your whole life. Wow. By His stripes we're healed. Man, I'm not so sure that means my flu or something. I think it's a little deeper. I honestly believe Christ wants to heal my mind. I really do. I believe He wants to heal my mind. I think He knows I'm going to die one day. But while I'm living, I can have a healthy mind and live like He would live. You see what I'm saying? There's healing there. Jesus agreed. He chose to submit, to talk our language, to wear our clothes, to eat our food, to breathe our air, to endure our vile and vicious treatment. He submitted Himself to that. That's an incredible mind, isn't it? And Jesus went a little further. He fell on His face. He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father," this is after the Last Supper, "if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will be done." And He went away again the second time and He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. If I got to do this, I'll do it. But parts of me aren't wanting to do it." You don't have to feel bad when you're hurting. You don't have to feel bad when you're crying. He cried. You don't have to feel bad about wanting to zap somebody. I believe He did. But He didn't. You understand? He humbled Himself. Contrast this with Satan in Isaiah. "For Thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars." It sounds like a lot of churches in America. "I'll sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High." It's something how we seek for this, and it's totally opposite of the way Jesus thought and He lived. Are y'all listening or not? I press toward what? Humility. Don't look at me and think, "Well, I know you ain't doing it." Hey, I know me and I know I ain't doing it. Tell me something new. No, I have to press too, guys. Right? I don't have this down. This is for me in my office. I choose to submit to authority. I've had to go through the legal system. I'm not going to get into all my mess I've had to go through. I never thought in a million years I'd have to go through the court mess and crap I've had to go through. I just couldn't believe it. But guess what? I chose not to fight. Not because I'm a great person. because I wanted the mind of Christ, and I thought that's the way to my future. And I want to get to my future. That's where I'm headed. You hear me? And I'm just giving you that advice to yourself as well. Yeah, but. Well, yeah, you just wasted about 8 years. One. Let's move on, man. I desire God's will to be done in my life more than stuff or more than this or more than that. How about God's will being done? Can God's will still be done in your life even though you've been screwed over? Yes or no? Absolutely. Matter of fact, God's such a great God. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He can make these horrible things that have happened in your life turn out to be really good in your life. That's incredible if you think that way. If you think that way, He didn't make the bad happen. He's just awesome. And when you give Him your head and your mind and your heart, He can take this junk and He can turn it out to good in your life. That's the kind of God we serve. Isn't that great? But you don't get it unless you have that kind of mind that presses on and presses and looks, and I want to see it, man. I'm going for it. Press toward that goal. Last point. I know I kept you long. Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death on a cross. This was His mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the next several verses told us what His mind was. And I've given it to you up on the screen today. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus became obedient unto death, the death on the cross. Some scripture from Psalms. This is Jesus before it ever happened. 1,000 years earlier, this was written. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? I'm a worm. I'm no man. As He's hanging on the cross, I'm a reproach of men. I'm despised of these people. They that see me, they laugh at me. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head at me and say, He trusted in the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delights in him. This is what He endured. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. This is what He saw on Sunday when they're hollering, Hosanna, 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 you the man, you the man, you the man. On Wednesday, crucify Him, Friday, this is happening. Don't make any mistake about it. He knew this was going to happen. He had a pressing mind. He set His face, the Bible says, as a flint towards Jerusalem. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to what? Minister, to give His life a ransom for who? Many. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. It's one of my favorite verses. It's a horrible verse, but it's one of my favorite in the Bible. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I believe Jesus, when He was being crucified, He was hurting, He was fighting, He was struggling inside of Him. But I believe when they spit at Him, He looked at them and let them. That's an incredible mind, isn't it? All because of you and me. That's what this week's all about. Amen? Pressing onward. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and He gave Himself for me. The last point for me, in my pressing mind instead of a depressing mind, I press toward the cross. Can you say that with me? I press toward. It seems almost foreign today, the cross, in our modern churches. And in our modern teaching on television. Check it out sometime. Get you a TV. Sit behind the Christian TV and see how many times you hear pastors talking to you about the cross life. Oh, the good life. Oh, the good life. Yeah. Name it, claim it, blab it, have it. It's yours, baby. Yeah, $9.95. It's funny. He didn't have that life, but we call ourselves Christians. How does that happen, guys? Say. It's because we don't have the mind of Christ. You understand? You listening to me? Problems in the church equal problems in the world anymore. People outside the church have just as much success as living life as people inside the church. I bet you money the church has more Christian counselors and psychologists than the world has. Why? Because we're just as depressed as they are. Because we've skipped the pressing mind. I honestly believe you'll be fine if you do what I said today on this screen. I really do. I believe all hell can come against you and you can charge hell with a water pistol. I believe it. I believe it. How many have had some major event happen in your life? It crushed you. It killed you. But with the power of God, you've been able to get over it and move on. Can I see your hand? That's what He can do for you. Amen? That's a great God we have. I press toward the cross. I'm crucified with Christ. I live with my faith in Jesus Christ. I know that Jesus loves me, and He gave His life for me. And no matter what mistreatment, whatever bad thing happens, whatever happens in my life, nothing can do away with the fact that Jesus loves me. And I can do all things through who? Fred, Bill, Bob, Wanda, Sue, Christ. Who what? Strengthens me. It's powerful. I want a pressing mind and not a depressing mind. Can you say that loud with me? Come on, we're done. I want a pressing mind and not a depressing. Now, can we say it a little ugly? Here we go. I want a pressing mind and not a depressing mind. That's what I want for my life. I want the thinking of Jesus to be my thinking. And I'm not talking about being super spiritual, guys. This is work. This is work. Amen. I want my thinking to be. I want Jesus, the thinking of Jesus, to be my thinking. Are we done, Raj? I am pressing what? Amen. Let's stand together. Come on. Thank you. Can we praise the Lord for a good word this morning from the Word of God? Amen. Thank you, Lord. You blessed us today.